Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Glenn Harness with Health and Wellness. Today's guest is Dr. Melanie Swift, the Medical Director of the Occupational Health Clinic. We're going to talk a little bit about the swine flu and some things you may need to know about it and some things you may not know about it. Dr. Swift, can you tell me what we're calling the swine flu now? I understand that it's not really called swine flu anymore.
Right. It first was called swine flu because it appears to have been a virus that started in pigs. But it's really not an accurate term because there's human-to-human transmission of this, and it didn't originate only from pigs. So now the correct term for it is an H1N1 influenza, and that has to do with the specific types of flu viruses. And it's probably a new H1N1 influenza. There have been other H1N1 influenzas before. So most people are calling it the 2009 H1N1 influenza.
I'm seeing things that refer to it as novel H1N1. What does that mean?
That just means that it appears to be the first time we have isolated this particular virus.
Okay. What are the signs and symptoms if someone has this virus? What would they see?
They would see exactly what you see with the regular seasonal flu. Fever is a hallmark of the illness, and respiratory symptoms. So that would be a cough, congestion, runny nose, sore throat. And we have seen people with some stomach problems, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea. But if they have those stomach problems, they also do have a respiratory illness.
How does the new virus spread?
That's a good question because it wasn't really understood well, and we haven't completely understood. But it appears more and more, as we get experience with this virus, that it is spread in the same way as regular seasonal flu. In other words, by small droplets as people cough or sneeze, and by hand-to-hand contact spreading of that virus when it gets on your hands and you touch a surface that someone else then touches, or you shake hands with someone.
What should I do to keep from getting sick?
You know, there are really common sense, simple measures people can take. There's not a new vaccine for this, but what we've learned is that people can protect themselves very well just by following some common sense practices. Wash your hands frequently. You can use alcohol gel or you can use soap and water, but the washing of hands is the number one way to prevent the spread of this. Secondly, people should cover their cough or sneeze. And by that, I mean usually into the sleeve or the elbow or into a tissue, and then discard the tissue and wash your hands. That's the best way. And then the third thing people can do is to stay away from close contact with someone who may have this. And close contact is within about 6 feet unless the person is appropriately covering their cough and sneeze.
Are there any medicines that treat this virus?
Yes, there are medications that can be used to shorten the course of this flu. Like all flu treatment, it is not a dramatic cure. What the medications can do is reduce the severity of symptoms and shorten the course of illness by about 1 day. So they're not a panacea. Medications should be used only in high-risk patients who are at risk of complications for flu if their doctor believes that they may have influenza.
I took care of a patient who I think may have this virus. What should I do?
That is a great question. What we know is that the protective equipment, when worn properly, prevents exposure. So if you're taking care of a patient with this virus, you need to be wearing a surgical mask and you need to be washing your hands before and after contact. There are special situations where you need more protective equipment if certain aerosol generating procedures are being done to the patient while you're in the room. Now that would be pretty uncommon, but it would include nebulized medication, suctioning, intubation, bronchoscopy. People in the room, when that's going on, need additional protective equipment. But for most people, it's a surgical mask. So if you were wearing a surgical mask, or if the patient was wearing a mask, then you're not considered exposed. However, if you are considered exposed because you were within 6 feet of that patient and neither you nor the patient was wearing a mask, you should call occupational health. We have a list of the patients that have been confirmed to have this virus, and we will check to see if the patient you were exposed to is on that list. And if so, we will offer you appropriate preventive medication.
What should I do if I get sick?
Well, here in Nashville, we have had cases of this H1N1 influenza. So we are a community where this disease has spread. So here in Nashville and the surrounding area, if you get sick with a fever, you need to take your temperature with a thermometer. And that is very, very important. A lot of people we're finding are not taking their temperature with a thermometer. Very, very important to do that.
What do you take it with if you don't use a thermometer?
Most people are saying that they can tell they have a fever because they feel feverish. Other people say that thermometers don't work for them because they run low. Their temperature is never normal, and so they don't believe that they would have a fever if they got this virus. But really, you need to take it with a thermometer, and a temperature greater than or equal to 100 degrees Fahrenheit is a fever for this illness. And if you then have respiratory symptoms, a cough, sore throat, runny nose, or congestion, along with a fever, then you should consider yourself potentially infected. You should contact your doctor to see if you're someone for whom testing is needed. Here at Vanderbilt, our healthcare workers are a group that the CDC recommends be tested for this influenza virus if they have a fever and respiratory symptoms. Otherwise, people in the community, family members, people that are not healthcare workers, should take care of themselves the way that they would take care of themselves for the normal flu. There's no need to come into the doctor unless you call them and they've told you that you need to be. And you can take regular over-the-counter medications you would normally take for cold and flu. And you should stay home while you have a fever and respiratory symptoms to keep from infecting other people.
What has occupational health done to help people know what to do?
One of the things that we have done is created a guidance tool that's electronic that's on our website at occupationalhealth.vanderbilt.edu. And Vanderbilt faculty and staff can use this to determine whether they need to be at work and whether or not they need to be tested. And it will ask some questions and instruct them on what to do based on their symptoms. We also have nurses that will guide people through that same decision process over the phone. We also have someone on call 24/7 to answer questions about what you should do.
Well, I had the flu shot back in October. I'm good, right?
No. Each year, the flu vaccine is formulated anew.
Okay.
And the antigens that are picked for that, or the strains of flu that are picked for that, vary from year to year. And they're based upon what we're seeing as the most likely predictable viruses to come through the area that season. This was a newly identified virus that was not identified when last year's vaccine was formulated. So last year's vaccine does not provide protection against this particular strain of flu.
Okay. In that case, will this vaccination coming up in the fall protect against this virus?
That's a very good question. Most likely what will happen is a new vaccine would need to be developed for this specific virus, and that may be a two-shot vaccination course.
Okay.
It's likely that would be a limited supply of vaccine, and that we would need to follow CDC guidelines for the distribution of that vaccine to high priority people first. So it is still an unknown question. We don't have the vaccine yet, and so we can't really say for sure, but most likely there will have to be a special vaccine for this virus at this time.
All right. I really appreciate you explaining all this. It's a whole lot more clear now.
Thank you. Happy to talk with you.
Thanks for listening. If you have any comments or story suggestions, please email us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu or visit our website, www.healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu, and click on the podcast link.